It is so good to be able to join together with you here today, to have some who are able to be back after illness, and some who have been away for some period of time, and I'm just thankful that God's given us this morning together. And, one thing that I think a lot of us fall prey to is the idea that's subconsciously in our mind that we usually live thinking about in the future. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the only day we have. And today is the day that God's given us. And this is the day that we have to be together. And I'm thankful for this day. I pray for those that are not able to be here, and I pray for those that may be struggling in ways that you and I have little understanding of, but I'm thankful for this day. I'm thankful that God has given me the opportunity to be in His house today. And I trust that we may, first of all, that we may learn to be content in those things. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And I pray that no matter what our situation might be today, we might be content in the Lord, knowing that He's going to take care of any other circumstance that comes along. And I pray that I might know that this is the day, and I can number this day, and I can value this day. And I'll let God take care of all them other days that might come along. And if He lets me have breath, I'm going to do my best to be thankful for them as well. But as I'm thankful for the opportunity today to try to preach His Word, I hope you've been praying and that you will continue to pray that God would bless what we endeavor to look at today. Will be a day, be a time of rejoicing in the truth of the Scriptures. I want to ask you to look with me at some verses in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the Lord being willing, I'm going to read from the first 10 of those verses, and then we'll draw our attention to particularly to a statement found in verse 8. Now, for those who have been able to be here, or perhaps have been able to share with us by the streaming of the message at home, we've been engaged in a series of studies of things that the Bible tells us that we ought to remember. Some passages of Scripture in which we're given the directive to remember certain things. Paul and Peter both have recognized the fact that there are times when the same thing needs to be written again and needs to be repeated. There's times when our minds need to be stirred up. Now, we've looked at the fact that we need to remember what we were without Christ. Without Him, we were without hope in the world. But by Him, we've been made nigh through His blood. We've come nigh to God. We're called upon to remember the Lord as our Creator. And that statement says that it's particularly true in the days of our youth. I'll let you decide how young or how old you think yourselves to be. But I think the most important thing of it is to remember that God is our Creator. And that He has created us for His glory. And as we remember Him, that all things are to be for His praise and for His glory. We are to remember His love for us. We looked in the Song of Solomon as the statement of that one who loved Solomon said, "We will remember your love." We remember the love of God for us in Jesus Christ because He loved us first. And then we looked last week at the statement that Paul made to the elders of the church at Ephesus as they met in the book of Acts, said that Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Now this morning I want to ask you to notice with me another of the statements that the Bible says we ought to remember. I want you to remember with me today that Jesus the Christ is raised from the dead. No, I know it's not Easter yet, but I think sometimes we fall into a pattern of partitioning certain thoughts. I'm going to tell you that this is a thought that ought to be of great comfort and great importance to us every day of our life, to remember that Jesus is raised from the dead. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same things that you've heard, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Now, folks, I could take those 10 verses and immediately tell you that there's at least 8 different sermons in them. And so I'm not going to endeavor to preach 8 sermons all at one time today. But I do want us to look at the context in which verse 8 is given. And then, seeing that context in a brief way, I want us to look at why verse 8 then is so very important to us today. Now, if you will, pray with me before we begin to go into the Word of God. Father, thank you for your Word that we've read. Thank you for the richness of it. Thank you, Father, for the absolute truth of it. All Scripture is given by your breath, and it's profitable for us. Father, I beg today that we might see its application in our life, and that we might find the profit of it for our day. But Father, I pray most of all that we might find the joy of our hope of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Bless me to be able to speak your word. And then, Father, as Paul prayed for Timothy, give us understanding. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thou therefore, my son. Paul's writing to this young man, who was a man much beloved by Paul. He was a man who was drawn to Christ through the presence of Paul's ministry. He was a man whom Christ then called into the work of the ministry, and Paul watched him grow and mature. Paul shared with him that he was a son in the faith, and yet he was a fellow laborer. So the things that are spoken of in this verse, or in these verses, are spoken with much affection. And therefore, the warning that's given and the encouragement that's given in the general context of these verses are pretty important, that we need to remember to encourage one another, that we need to remember to encourage those whom we love in Jesus Christ and whom God has blessed us to be joined together with in Jesus Christ. What is the context, preacher? Well, look with me, first of all, at verse 3. Paul writes to Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And if you'll boil down and look in verse 9, Paul encourages Timothy, but then he talks about himself in verse 9. He said, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds." That word hardness that's used in the Greek term that's used in verse 3 literally means to endure difficulties and hardships, to endure those things that are even evil that come upon you. You see, the context is the fact that our life in faith is a stringent life. It's not a life of deprivation. It's not a life of being forced to go without things that we need. I say that because Jesus told His disciples in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, He said, "Don't worry so much about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to be clothed with. Your Father knoweth that you have need of these things." You see, folks, our Heavenly Father provides for us what we need. But God never promised us a primrose path, if I might use that old term. My grandmother used to have a flower bed by the side of her garage that had some flowers that she called primroses. And one of the things that became very apparent to me about those primroses was that they just kept growing out in front of you and they just kept multiplying. I carried a few of them home and put some of them under my bedroom window, and I was the one that had to cut the grass around the house, and I found out that they just grow all over the place. I kind of liked that because there wasn't much grass to cut, but my daddy didn't care too much for that idea. Well, preacher, what has that got to do with things? The idea of a primrose path is that God doesn't promise us a path that just always blooms in front of us and keeps getting bright and cheery. He does promise us His affection. He does promise us His presence. He does promise us His attention. He just doesn't promise us our life of faith and faithfulness is going to be easy. You see, Timothy was to be strong in the grace that was in Christ Jesus, and part of that strength was he was to take the things that Paul had taught him, and he was to pass them on to some other good men that they in turn would be able to pass them on to others. You see, part of our strength is the sharing of our testimony and of our knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. Being strong in the faith is going to be a life that enables us to take the things in which we hope and to in turn pass them on to others that they may have that joy and hope. But in the process, we have to endure hardness. We have to be a good soldier. Now, some of you, brethren, perhaps spent years of your life in the military service of our country. And I guess the epitome of this statement that Paul makes to Timothy would come back to maybe your experiences in that thing called boot camp. Now, I never did go through it personally, but in watching and in being around others who did, there were those times when you were pushed. Expectations were placed upon you. Demands were made of you. Energy was required. Effort was given. It was strenuous. And the whole purpose of it was that enduring that strenuousness would prepare you for other things that were going to be coming later and would probably be even more strenuous at times. The idea of enduring hardships. Because there are going to come times in our faith, folks, when we're going to have trials. I can't paint you an all-inclusive picture of what that is. But just remember, you're not the first one to experience it. And you won't be the last one if God allows time to stand. Jesus said, if the world hates you, if you have that hardship come that comes against you, just remember, it hated me first. Now, Paul turns around and says to Timothy, I've been counted as a troublemaker because of the gospel that I preach. I've even been put in prison. But the word of God hasn't been diminished. Now, you be strong and you pass it on to someone else. Brothers and sisters, I would say to you today that as you walk in your life, you understand that there are things that have been committed to you by faith, that you have both the opportunity, the encouragement, and I will even add the responsibility to pass on to others whom God will bring you into contact with. That's a challenge. Yep. Idiot. But let me tell you one of the things that you can find comfort in. Verse 7 says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, I'm telling you these things, and I want you to consider them. And it's interesting to me that the word that's used there is a word which is, it translates from to exercise your mind and to give heed to. Exercise and give heed to these things that I tell you, and I'm praying that as you do that, God will give you understanding. You see, folks, one of the things that we all need to grasp, we all need to wrap our heads around, is that as we study the Word of God, and we ought to do that, Paul said to Timothy in another place, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But how am I going to understand it? It's about an old bunch of ancient history, right? Places I don't ever, won't ever go to, have never seen, got a bunch of names I don't know how to pronounce. It's too deep for me. How do I understand the Word of God? We all understand it the same way. If we're ever going to be able to consider it and to grasp it, it is because God gives us the understanding. All of our grasp of the Word of God will come as God gives us. We're to consider, we're to study, we're to labor with the Word of God. And I'll tell you, folks, that's not just the preacher that's supposed to do that. All of us ought to consider it And all of us ought to do so with the reality that the understanding that I have is going to come from God. I want you to look with me at two passages of Scripture very quickly. First of all, look in Psalm 119. I told you I wasn't going to give you eight sermons, and I'm not going to give you eight sermons. I'm just about to get to the main one. But I want you to notice what we're about, build up to what we're about to see. Look in Psalm 119. And look at beginning at verse 97, and read with me through verse 100. David says, "Oh, how love I thy law." Notice that expression. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. What was it Paul told Timothy? That they were to endure hardness, endure things that come against them. David said, mine enemies are ever with me. And how am I going to endure hardness? Thy law, thy word, maketh me wiser than mine enemies. Makes me know how to handle the things that mine enemy... Oh, your enemy, you can count that as your next door neighbor if you're having a hard time. You can count it as the people on the other side of the world. You can divide it any way you want to, but just understand that we as men and women of faith, we have an adversary. And our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have an adversary. It may come in differing forms, but it comes through the work of Satan against the name of Jesus Christ. How am I going to have enough understanding? Thy law, thy commandments hath made me wiser than mine enemies. They are ever with me. The enemies are there, but so are the commandments of God. It always applies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I understand more than the philosophies of men. Why? Because God's commandments are always true. How am I going to handle one of the questions that we talked about in Bible study this morning? How do we handle a situation when trials and persecution come? How do I handle it? Paul said, you consider what I'm telling you, and you pray that God will give you understanding. James, over in the New Testament, in James chapter 1, verse 5, says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. How do I endure hardness? You consider the message and you ask God to give you the help. And when you do, you remember this. Because see, here's the focal point in verse 8. We have to endure hardness. We have adversaries. We have difficulties. We have all of those things. But we have one other thing that the world does not have. You have one thing that the world does not have. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to the good news. Paul called it his gospel because it was what he preached. But I'm going to tell you, it's the same good news that the angels gave to the shepherds the night on the hills outside the city of Bethlehem when they said, we bring unto you good tidings of great joy. That's the same idea as the gospel. You have a Savior who has been raised from the dead. You have Jesus Christ of the seed of David. Well, why is that even important? What difference does that make? Because it is the fulfillment of the promise that God had made. You have the one that God promised He was going to give. He told David that He was going to, that there would be one of the seed of David that would reign upon the throne forever. We use those scriptures in Isaiah. We use that passage in Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Chapter 7, we're told that there would be one born of a virgin. And that virgin was told in Luke chapter 1 when the message was sent to her that this one that would be born of her would be given the throne of His father David. You see, God had given a promise, and the one whom God had promised came into this world. But He died. He was crucified. He was nailed to a cross. Yes. Thank God that He was. But He was raised from the dead. There was a promise given in the book of Daniel. You look in Daniel chapter 2, and I won't read all of the verses, but from verses 32 through 44, Daniel saw a vision, saw a dream. And in that dream, there was a figure who was four different materials in this image. Gold, silver, brass, and clay, and iron, all mixed together. There were going to be kingdoms. There was and you could see Nebuchadnezzar, and you could see the Medes and the Persians, and you could see the Greeks, and you could see the Romans. But after that, there was a breaking up of that image, and there was a stone that was cut out of a mountain, and that kingdom grew and filled the entire earth. And folks, I'm going to tell you, that's the kingdom of Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. The King of the seed of David was crucified and buried in the tomb that belonged to someone else. He didn't have to have His own tomb. He wasn't going to be there but 3 days. And He went to that hour knowing that, like we're told Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, that the Son of Man would be in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights, and He was raised. The power of God raised Him from the dead. That's what Paul talked about in the book of Philippians when he said that we lived in the power of the resurrection. You see, we live in the power of a Savior. We live in the power of a King. We live in the power of a Shepherd. We live in the power of One who is always with us, and He is alive. Do you realize that that is the one difference between Christianity and any other religion in the world today? Every other practice of religion has a place to which they can go where the one who taught them what they're trying to practice was buried there. But you know what? You and I don't have that. You consider this. You think about this. You exercise your mind with this. You give heed to it, because I'm going to tell you, it's not an inconsequential thing. It's one of the most important things, not only in our hope of eternal salvation, but in our walk of life day by day, is that we don't have a teacher who's buried in a grave. We have one who is raised from the dead. And He walks with us in every step of hardness that we endure. Why can we endure hardness? Because Jesus lives. Young people in the life that they face great questions. They have to make decisions. They have to make choices. They're hard choices a lot of times. But you don't have to make them alone. Jesus lives. He's raised from the dead. Parents who raise those young people struggle and often make mistakes, but you realize they don't have to do it alone. Jesus was raised from the dead. Parents, we have a King who walks beside us right now. We as believers are faced with temptations. We're faced with challenges. But we have a Jesus who is raised from the dead. We have a King who is raised from the dead. And we have a King who said, it's needful for me to go away. Where did He go? He went back to the Father. But if I go away, I will send unto you another Comforter. And there is a power who is with you today in Jesus Christ, and that's the presence of the Holy Spirit. Why is it such a joyful thing that we have the presence of the Holy Spirit? Jesus took our sins to the grave. He bore death, but He left them in the grave. And when He came out, it wasn't possible for death to hold Him, because He had no sin of His own. And He left ours in the grave. The old grave clothes were there. He left the condemnation of our sin in the grave. And He went back to the Father. Stephen saw Him a little while later in the sixth chapter of the book of Acts. Stephen saw Him standing at the right hand of the Father. Because God welcomed Him back. God received Him back into His presence. God received Him back into heaven itself. He sent a Holy Comforter unto us. God made the promise. God kept the promise. And you see today, my friends, one of the greatest things I can say to you is that when you face the temptations of your life, Jesus is raised from the dead. When you struggle with hardness in your life, Jesus is raised from the dead. When you grasp with questions and you grapple with questions in your mind, you have a Savior who is victorious over death and over hell and over the grave, and He lives. You'll hear this. It's only about, 3 months till Easter time. You'll hear that again. But I'm here to tell you today, that's one of the things that Paul told Timothy. He said, you consider what I'm telling you. You wrap your head around it and you give heed to it, because as you teach others and as you endure hardness as a soldier and as you walk as a soldier of Jesus Christ, we have a warfare. But we've been given an armor. We've given the leadership of a King. We're given one who has been raised from the dead. You ever feel like you're not enough? I'm weak. I'm struggling. My faith is not enough. Let me tell you, the good thing is it doesn't have to be, because it doesn't depend on you. It depends on the one who was raised from the dead. He was enough. He was enough to overcome the very condemnation that would have held you. And He's enough to overcome all of the hardness that you and I face. And the living Christ, of the seed of David, of the very one that God promised, His presence as a risen Lord today is the assurance of eternal life, and the assurance that we need in our daily life today. I would encourage you, like Paul encouraged Timothy, endure hardness. Put up with it. Go through it. Not just, don't fret over it. Endure it and walk through it, because you have a Savior who walks with you. Endure hardness. Because Paul said, I reckon that the afflictions of this present world are but for a little time. And they're not worthy to be compared with the place that Christ has prepared for us. Endure hardness. Pass it on to someone else. And you remember, Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. We sing the hymn, I serve a risen Savior. What's the next line in that song? He's in the world today. And I'm going to tell you, folks, that is the most immediate message. Heaven is whenever Jesus comes to get us. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be a long time from now. But the fact that He's in this world today with us in the power of His Holy Spirit gives us power. God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but He's giving you the power of love and of a sound mind. May we hear the assurance that as we walk in faith, Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And we rest in Him, because as He lived, we shall live also. Father in heaven, I thank You today that You've given us this message. It means so much to us that the condemnation of sin has been broken, that the debt of sin has been paid. But, oh, our Father in heaven, that You have rolled away the stone, and that they were able to see that the grave clothes were left, but Jesus wasn't there, and that He appeared to them. He comes to us today as we need Him, and it is our great hope that Jesus is raised from the dead. Help us, Lord, to place our trust in the risen Savior. Help us to commit our decisions. Help us commit our struggles. Help us to commit our uncertainties. Help us to commit our doubts. Help us to commit those things with which we have to endure. Help us, Lord, to commit them into the care of the One who lives with us, in us, and for us. Help us to know that His presence gives us forgiveness. It also gives us all we need to serve You in our life and in Your church and in the days to come. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen.